good afternoon, rather. Welcome to Radio Away at St. Peter's Hospital this afternoon. And if you've just walked through the door, or if you're listening on the internet, a very good warm welcome to you. There's plenty going on this afternoon, and we're going to be handing over very shortly now to Andy Brown, who is out and about chatting to a few people. And we're now going to hand straight over to him to have a listen to what he's going to say.
Okay, we're out and about once again, and we've followed the orange signs to the therapy areas. And here on the in St. Peter's Hospital, we're joined by Sarah and Linda. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So, Sarah, hand therapy, what is that all about?
Funnily you say, a lot of people don't really know much about hand therapy. When they have a problem with their hand, they think they just need general physiotherapy. Hand therapy is quite a specialist area, and you can be an occupational therapist or a physiotherapist to specialise in it. And we see a lot of people post-injury, post-surgery, with rheumatology and long-term conditions. We help them in self-management, we help them with rehab, we help to manage acute problems. And we also do a lot of wound care and scar management under the same roof as well.
So hand therapy, what would that be? Is that exercises? What would you be getting a patient to do?
Yeah, so for example, if someone's had an injury to their finger, we might see them quite soon after that injury. We might provide them a thermoplastic splint to help protect it and to manage it. But we also get them started on early active exercises to prevent that finger from becoming quite stiff, as one example. Another example might be somebody's had a surgery to their hand. So one common surgery we see is Dupuytren's excision.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. That sounds like something we see on Doctor Who, but what does that mean?
So it's a contracture of the hand, and they take the bad tissue out of the palm, which has caused the contracture. And we see them 7 to 10 days post-surgery. We take the bulky dressing down. We put a new dressing on. We make them a splint to help keep the finger extended following the surgery. And we again start them on exercises. So we do lots of different things. It's not just exercise provision. It's fabrication of splints. It's wound care. It's management of the scar once the wound has healed. It's management of swelling and edema, which can be quite a big problem in the hand and wrist as well.
So in taking an example, how do people get referred to you?
Referrals come to us from GPs, from consultants, rheumatology consultants, orthopaedic consultants, from our physiotherapy colleagues, sometimes from community teams, external hospitals. A lot of our referrals come through the MSK triage team, where how a lot of MSK problems are kind of managed and dealt with in-house.
And how long would you be seeing a patient for?
Oh, it really varies from condition to condition. Yeah.
Okay, so that's hand therapy. Now let's turn to paediatrics, which is children. Physiotherapy on children. What's that all about, Linda?
Yes, well, children need physiotherapy as much as adults do, and we treat a variety of conditions. I work both in patients and in outpatients. In the hospital, we see children post-surgery. We see children who might need chest physiotherapy, who've come in with chest infections. And then from an outpatient point of view, we offer one-to-one sessions for children, again, post-surgery, or if they've had an injury. We also run an exercise class here so that children can do some group work, a bit like you'd get in a gymnasium. We also have a hydrotherapy class, so that's taking children in the water, so doing exercises in water.
Now, we're here in the gym, so you say hydrotherapy. Is there a hydrotherapy pool hidden away here at the hospital?
Yes, there is. It's just a little bit further down the corridor from where we're standing now, and we do paediatric sessions on a Monday afternoon. The children will have been assessed in the gymnasium here first, and then we deem it appropriate that they can have some hydrotherapy as part of their treatment.
And is the water kept warm?
It's lovely. It's about 34 degrees, so it's like having a bath.
And taking children, you know, they're a young age. How do they adapt to having to do exercises and things like that?
Sometimes it's very difficult. The babies obviously don't understand, and so that can be really quite soul-destroying sometimes and a bit heartbreaking, particularly when you have to deal with the parents in tears. But we try and make it fun. So we have a gymnasium here where we have a variety of fun things to do, like a trampette. We've got lots of toys. We've got bouncy balls. We've got a special children's balanced machine that they can stand on and maneuver a ball into a maze, so it makes it rather fun. So we just try and have a bit more fun and get the children to do things, and then they don't realize that they're actually exercising
and improving
and improving.
And children say the funniest things, so I'm sure you get some funny comments and giggles.
Oh, we do sometimes.
Do share yes. one with you. Go on, what's your favorite?
Oh, goodness me, there have been so many. I think the best one, though, that I ever had was I overheard one of the children saying, these adults, they're just big children, really, aren't they?
That's probably true. Linda?
And I think that's true, yeah.
Thank you for joining us, and thanks for all the work you do here.
It's much. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Andy, and welcome to the first ever Community Day here at St. Peter's Hospital, supporting Ashford and St. Peter's Hospitals. If you'd, well, we'd love to see your photos of the day, so do share them on social media using the hashtag ASPH Community Day 19. That's hashtag ASPH Community Day 19. And you can find out more about Ashford and St. Peter's Hospitals, and you can learn about current career opportunities as well by going to their website, which is www.ashfordstpeters.nhs.uk. And it's lovely to see so many of your faces here. And if you'd like to have a request, just come over to the Radio Way stand and we'll see what we can do. There's also some information about what is going on around our community day as well. Just ask at the reception.
Right, we're now in another busy corridor here, and a lovely lady in her dungarees and orange jumper. Good afternoon. Your name is?
I'm Sue.
Sue, your role here today?
I'm here to help the Trust connect up with people in the community and again with our own staff so that we can make both the St. Peter's site and the Ashford site hospitals much greener, in particular our green spaces. How can we make better use of it? How can we get staff to use the green space? How can we get groups from outside to connect with us? And we've had some brilliant, brilliant ideas. We've got here at the stand where kids and adults have been drawing their designs for, number one, a quiet zone in this hospital. And I've got some brilliant ideas. On the wall here, we've got one child wants a hot tub.
Right.
Another child wants the whole area to be a giant swimming pool. Mm-hmm. So some great ideas. But things like local schools saying that can we help by painting some stones? And then we can use those big stones to become the edges of pathways so that we can connect with schools. It's all of those kind of ideas we're trying to get from people.
When you say green spaces, there are green spaces here at the hospital, but people don't know they exist.
Exactly.
Because behind us here is a little courtyard, and in there you've got some lovely statues.
Yes, absolutely. This is part of the game, is how can we make them more accessible? How can we make them nicer? And how can we therefore get more people involved? So it's not just something that we walk past and look at, but how can people feel that it's not just the hospitals, this is everybody's, so that this can become more of a community area, so that maybe some, I'd say, the local schools or local gardening groups or even staff who are interested in gardening, how can we make use of this space in our lunch breaks? How can we come in after work and have a go at things? How do we get the expertise with local groups who can advise us on what we can do in here?
So people are at home, they don't have a garden space, but they love gardening.
Yes.
Opportunity.
Come and join us. Come and join us. We'd love to hear about you.
So how would they do that?
The best bet at the moment is to email me, because we're trying to gather the contacts. And at the moment, we've got forms that people are filling in. So if people would like to email myself, my name's Sue, and my email at work is s.wales, just like the country, s.wales@nhs.net.
Okay, so that's s.wales@nhs.net.
Yeah.
And what's your normal day job, Sue? Is it this?
Well, probably is to an extent. I work in transformation, so I'm helping the teams to look at the ways we work and how can we improve what we're doing. And green comes into that, both with the current way that we're using the sites, but we're thinking about the future build and how can we get much, much greener with all the future work developments that are going on site.
I think it's going to happen.
Yes,
it definitely is.
It definitely is.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, so that's the green spaces. Let's move further on down to the ladies in pink who are here at the hospital. And let me just interrupt if I can talk to one of the ladies here. Hello. You are the ladies in red, or the ladies in purple, pink. You are?
I'm the R&D manager, Research and Development Department.
So research and development.
Yes.
Research and development in a hospital, what's that involve?
It involves testing new drugs and devices before they come to the market. So just making sure it's efficient, like it's effective and safe as well. Yeah.
So when something new comes to the market, how do you find out about it?
Something new comes in the market. Yeah, so basically, before it comes to the market, it has to go through different phases of trials. So basically, a trial would have four different phases: phase one, phase two, three, and four, where we would check the efficacy of the drug and the safety of the drug before it goes to the market to the patients.
And you mentioned drugs, but does this also apply to equipment and things?
Oh, yes, to device trials as well, yeah. So that would be stents for cardiology studies and things like that.
So what is the exciting advance at the moment that you're really excited about here at St. Peter's?
Yes, so we have a lot of new, like if you see the rhythm pad there, so it's a new device that would potentially replace, you know the ECG, that we have different electrodes placed on your chest when you come for an ECG. So basically this one would mean like you just put your palms on the device and it would take the reading of your BP and just your ECG basically.
So a lot quicker. And
a lot quicker.
Used in hospitals convenient, as well as ambulances and things?
Yeah, it's quite portable if you see. It's like you can just have it in the...
It's a bit like an iPad, I think, with two hands on it. Yeah. The best day to describe it on the radio.
Yes.
All right, and apart from that, what else is up and coming here at the hospital?
We have new studies. Like recently, we will be coming up with a study where we are comparing cigarettes with e-cigarettes. So basically just checking whether e-cigarettes would be a better option for people who wouldn't like to quit smoking. So, yeah, studies like that.
And I also hear that a lot of the hospital win rewards and go off. I'm sure R&D pick up a few awards, don't you?
Sorry, I didn't...
You're winning awards in the national, so you've won a few awards.
Recently, we had Dr. Peter Reynolds, who is one of our consultant neonatologists. So he got the Best Neonatal Specialist Award.
And if I remember rightly, it was presented by somebody special, was it not?
Yes, it was by Theresa May, actually.
Theresa May, the outgoing Prime Minister. So, again, another feather in the cap for St. Peter.
Yeah,
well done. So the ladies in pink are doing a marvellous job here. Thank you. So that's research and development. I'm going to now quickly run back down to pharmacy and have a chat there with the pharmacy department. So pharmacy in the hospital. Hello, you're live on the radio and they said you were the person that would tell me everything. Or you're all pointing in all directions. So pharmacy in a hospital, what's that all about? How do people get their medication here in the hospital? What's the path the pharmacy gets involved in?
As a pharmacist, we review the medications. We assess if it's appropriate for the patient based on their clinical condition, based on their observations. And then if it's appropriate and if it's been legally prescribed, we dispense it. And we ensure that we dispense the right medication for the right patient, and we try to do that in an efficient manner.
So if I went to my GP, I get a prescription, I go to the chemist and get that made up. What happens here in a hospital when a doctor on the ward suddenly decides a drug's needed? How do you get involved there?
So the doctor prescribes on a drug chart or some sort of prescription. That comes to pharmacy, and then we dispense it, and then we deliver it back to the wards, or the patient can come and collect it from pharmacy. Yeah.
So it's a busy department, operates 7 days a week?
7 days a week, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and then 10 to 3 on the weekends.
And I was advised, though, if I've got my own prescription from the GP, I don't come here. I believe you just do the hospitals.
Yeah, we just do the hospitals. We don't do the green prescriptions. You can take that to your local chemist.
Okay. All right. So it's a busy department and doing great work. Thank you very much.
Well, we're now here with some youngsters who have just arrived. Hello. Your names?
Etienne.
Etienne.
Bastien.
And
Nicole.
You weren't going to talk to me a few minutes ago, were you, Nicole? You're getting all very shy. So what have you come to see today?
How hospitals work.
Hospitals. So which is the best bit you want to see? Is there any bit that you're looking for especially?
The operation part.
The operating theatre. Oh, right. There's tours there. So you'll be able to go in and do some operations, will you?
Yeah.
You want to do... What do you want to be when you grow up? Have you decided?
No. I'd like to be a soldier or a football player.
A soldier or a football player. Now, that's interesting, because there are some soldiers here today. If you manage to go, if you take your mum and all your brothers and sisters down to the postgraduate centre, there's lots of doctors and there's also some soldiers there. So you can see the soldiers. And what was the other thing?
I would like to see how you look after the... people.
How the nurses all work and things like that. Well, you'll be able to see that. There's lots of things along the corridor, and when you get to the far end, you can go out and you also see the policemen and the ambulance drivers. So lots to see, isn't there? What are you looking forward to?
I want to see the beds.
You want to see the beds? Do you want to see people in the beds or the empty beds?
The empty beds.
And do you make your bed at home?
No, my mum did.
Your mum does? Oh, but after you've been today, do you think you'll know how to make a bed?
Yeah.
And will you do it tonight?
Yes.
Is that a promise?
Yeah.
Your mummy's just nodded, so she's very happy, so you'll do that. Okay, have a good day. Enjoy yourselves. Bye.
So we are now here in the up on the upper corridor here at St Peter's at the Community Open Day. And I'm joined by Jean. Jean, which department do you work in?
I work in endoscopy units.
Endoscopy. So I think that's tubes and things. What's that all about?
That's where we put flexible cameras, check the tummy, check the bowel, check the lungs. Very, very interesting stuff.
So is endoscopy and colonoscopy the same thing?
So endoscopy is a general term. And endoscopy is basically looking at everything. Colonoscopy is specific to looking at the bowel. Gastroscopy is specific to looking at the stomach.
So patients will get referred here to the department. And if they had to have an endoscopy, how long would it take?
So we have three types of pathways. We have the routine pathways, and usually they're done within 6 weeks. We have the urgent pathways, and they're usually done within 2 weeks. And you have the cancer pathways, and they're done within the same time, 2 weeks.
Okay. So a patient comes in. Is he in for hours, days, months?
So the procedure itself, the gastroscopy takes between 3 and 5 minutes. Colonoscopy takes half an hour. If they want to have sedation, so they need to stay a bit longer afterwards. So generally 3-4 hours for the whole stay in the endoscopy department.
And obviously it's a team effort. So how big is the endoscopy team here at the hospital?
It's at least 60 or 70 because we have specialist nurses who come and see patients when they need to. A very, very big team.
And the hospital is well known for winning awards. Has endoscopy picked up any?
Oh, definitely. We've recently received our 6th year of accreditation. We received ours in May. And that's just basically to reaffirm and reassure our patients that we provide the highest quality in the endoscopy unit. That's a CQC equivalent of for the trust. But JAG is very, very much specific to endoscopy. So, yay.
And you've got an interesting piece of equipment, I think, here from the department.
Yes, we do.
What does this do, if I ask?
So there's a flexible camera, and that's the one that goes through the gullet and then the stomach and then the small bowel. And I have a little camera there. It's a pill. And patients do swallow that, and that can take up to 85,000 pictures in 8 hours. But those are for specific indications. Not everybody gets to get that. That's just to check for any diseases in the small bowel. But in the endoscopy unit, there's lots of other things that we do, therapeutic and diagnostic. And we do a lot of non-endoscopy procedures to check the liver, the capsule, check the pressures in the gullet. So we invite, you know, young people who are in work experience. They're very much welcome to watch procedures. If they'd like to, they can link in with us or the post-grad team, and that could be arranged easily.
And the pill, you're saying, takes how many photographs?
At least 85,000.
And do the patients stay in hospital while they've...
No, they don't. They take the pill. They go home with a recorder. They come back the following day. They give us the recorder. We upload everything in the computer. One of the consultants go and check that and then write to them with the results, you know, either to say there's a bleeding, there's a narrowing, or everything is normal.
Amazing.
Amazing. The technology in endoscopy has evolved so much. Definitely in my last 18 years, from a black and white image to very high definition technology. So, yeah.
Brilliant, Jean. Thanks for sharing
Thank
that with
very
us.
Much. Have a nice day.
Okay, and let's move now to the next stand here up on the top corridor. And this is all about alcohol liaison. So if I can have a little word with Ginny. Ginny, alcohol, what's well, we know what alcohol's about, but your role here at the hospital?
So my role at the hospital is to provide sort of education and inform people that 14 units is the recommended units in a week that somebody should drink, with 2 to 3 alcohol-free days a week and plenty of water in between to look after your liver and make sure you maximise the fun that you have when you're drinking and reduce the harm that's associated with it, because alcohol is related to about 60 medical admissions, conditions even, and a big cost to the NHS.
So is this happening now in all age groups, or are we seeing it in specific areas?
The big risk group is the 40 to 55s, but we screen everybody in the hospital over the age of 18.
So when you say screen, what's that involve?
So there's these three questions here, which is how often do you drink, how much do you drink, and how often do you exceed 6 or 8 units in a week, if male or female. And that will give us an indicator as to whether somebody needs further intervention or whether they're drinking in a way that's less harm to their health.
So when you get home tonight, what will you be doing?
I'll be having a glass of pop, of course.
A pop? Just the normal fizz?
Yeah, just the normal fizz.
Thank you for that. That's great. So as you can see, lots happening. We're going to go a little bit further along the corridor and see if we can find some more interesting people. Just around the corner, I believe, is the organ donation. And they have been busy all day and are going to be joining them very soon indeed. They are here. This is the National Organ Donation Unit, and joining them on the stand is also Lawrence Gamlin, who is the chaplain, and I'm going to hopefully have a little word with him about organ donation. Hello, Lawrence. Can I just quickly interrupt and ask you about organ donation and the tree here? What's that all about?
Well, this is our tree, which is an excellent piece of art in its own right, but it does remind us every time we come down this corridor of those who have donated organs so that others are able to enjoy life. And so it's just an amazing thing, this tree. It was commissioned for this hospital in order to remember those who have donated in the past and to keep it ever before us that there is a need for organ donation. In the UK, it's about 3 people a day who die for lack of a donation. And it's interesting to note that the law is going to change. And so from next spring, people will have to opt out of being an organ donor rather than opting in. It happened in Wales about 10 years ago, and they've been able to plot the effects.
It must be a difficult decision for those that are left behind.
Sure.
And how is that eased?
I think it's eased by those who wish to be donors, letting those who are left behind that they wish to be donors. So they're not having to do the second-guessing thing. I think that's the crucial thing. So if you sign up to be an organ donor, then your family and your loved ones know that that is your wish.
And when you donate organs, it's not just helping possibly one person. It could
no,
be seven.
Up to about 9, so I understand, Andy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So eyes.
Eyes, yeah. Kidneys, lungs, heart, that sort of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of us which is helpful to somebody else after we've died, and we don't need it anymore.
And if people want to become on the donation register, just come along today and sign up?
Absolutely, or go onto the website organdonation.nhs.uk.
All right, that's great. Thank you very much. Now, coming along the main corridor, there's a little sign saying ASPH Transformation. Might not sound that exciting, but here in this room, I'm joined by Andrew Grimes. And your role, Andrew, here at the Trust?
I'm an Associate Director for Property and Capital Development.
Now, a little bit earlier today, we heard Andy Field saying there's lots of development here in the hospital. So what's the current plans at the moment?
So the boards in this room show everybody, if they come down and look, all the exciting things we're doing. It shows you the land we've sold, which is financing a new integrated assessment unit on the A&E car park, a new front end to outpatients, which will contain a whole new retail offering for the site, a new large 690 space multi-storey car park, which is going to make accessing our buildings a lot easier. And then you can see how we're proposing to provide much higher quality retail environment, cafe, hot foods service for staff and visitors. And we're also looking at how we can improve welfare for staff on the site through providing gym facilities and rest areas which are out of the public view.
So there's a lot happening. So let's turn back, first of all, to the car park, a multi-storey car park over the existing car park?
Yes, we are going to be closing the existing car park in November for about 6 months while we rebuild it with 3 to 4 times as much capacity.
Right.
So during that time, we'll relocate patient car parking into the central staff car park. And for most of the time, we're working on keeping staff on site, but asking people to adjust their working practices, people to work from home, to car share, to do things like that in order to reduce the stress on the site.
So once the car park's in place, then is it the transformation of reception?
Then it'll be the transformation of reception. We'll start about 3 months later, because in the interim, we're responsible for rebuilding the Bittams Lane roundabout outside the site, which takes us about 3 months.
So the Bittams, which you mean by the Bittams Lane?
The very roundabout that you come off the Guildford Road.
So the main entrance.
The main entrance roundabout.
Right.
We're responsible for rebuilding that, which we're planning to do next summer.
So why does it have to be rebuilt?
Because in this area, there's a considerable amount of housing going in, up to 10,000 houses between Runnymede and Woking and Surrey Heath, and we commercially agreed that we would fund part of that redevelopment of roads. We also ended up commercially having to accept the responsibility for this particular deal as part of the house sale.
Okay. Now, I know Radio Way, we're down there next to a little power plant. Are we safe or are we going to be moved?
Well, I can't say you won't be moved ever, but for the moment you are safe.
Okay. If so we see the bulldozers outside, we ask them to stop.
Yes. When we're ready and we've got a good place to move you to, we will talk to you again, but we haven't got somewhere at the moment.
All right. So then, as I say, you do the main reception area. A&E, you're saying that integrated. The work started a little bit on that, hasn't it?
So right now you'll see on site that we've coned off an area in order to extend the dining room of the PGEC. This is because we're closing the Aspects restaurant at the end of October as part of the redevelopment of the staff accommodation. Mm-hmm. So we have to come out then. So we're doing that extension now. We have some contractors on for that. You'll also see people in the urology corridor doing an extension. And in 2 weeks' time, we have a start on filling in the pharmacy courtyard to relocate our goods inwards and engineering stores. So this is all stuff that has to come off the west site, the land we've sold, and it all has to move in the next year.
So it's a logical, it's a logistic exercise nightmare?
It's not a nightmare, but it's a big logistics exercise.
And when are you taking your holiday and getting out of this place?
I'm not sure I am at the moment.
All levers cancelled?
All levers cancelled. And we actually have a programme on the wall to show how much work we are having to put in through the site over the next 3 years. It is going to be busy. There's going to be a lot of construction around, and we're working hard to make the site continue to operate sensibly, safely.
That's what it's got to do. It's a hospital, isn't it?
It is a hospital. So our job is to make sure that we can do all of this in the background without disturbing too many things.
Great. Thanks for sharing that with us today, Andrew. Thank you. So that's the transformation team. Let's move out into the main corridor again. It's busy with lots of people here, and we're going to see if we can join one of the other groups. Just looking further down here, it is a little bit tied up. Yep, there is something here at the bariatric surgery. So let me have a little word. Hello.
Hello there.
Good afternoon. Your name?
My name's Jessica. I'm one of the bariatric nurses.
So bariatrics, can we explain what that is in simple terms?
Okay, so bariatric surgery is for people who are overweight. They have to meet a certain criteria on the NHS. And then we can do surgery, which essentially can make their stomach smaller. And we reroute their small intestine so they absorb less calories. And that way they lose a lot of weight rapidly.
So that's obviously quite a change for their lifestyle, I would have thought.
It is, and it's not a decision taken lightly. They've obviously done lots of intervention and diets in the past, and they also have to complete at least 6 months in a weight management program before surgery, where they see a dietitian, a psychologist, a physiotherapist and the doctors to try and get them optimised for best success post-operatively.
And those operations, do they take place here at St Peter's, Jessica?
Yes, they take place in St Peter's. We were last year the sixth on the league table of the amount of surgery done in a year. We did over 259 operations. So, yeah, we're quite a big centre. We get a lot of patients, obviously, from the local area, but also from Sussex and Kent, because we're their nearest centre.
So it's a busy little department. How big's the department and how many people?
Well, we have lots of people. We have five surgeons, three specialist nurses, a whole host of dietitians, physiotherapists, a team of psychologists, metabolic doctors, anaesthetists, and then so many admin staff to keep us going. It's amazing.
Right, and it's an operation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
The surgeons and people cover 7 days a week, the nurses cover six. So there's always really someone here doing bariatrics.
And your advice to somebody, if they're thinking, you know, that they are a little bit overweight, what should they do?
If they're considering bariatric surgery, they need to see their GP. They have to be a certain BMI or have certain health complications, and then they can refer them into us to our specialist weight management service, which is the first step.
So the first step, as always, go and talk to your GP.
Yeah, definitely, and then they'll be able to refer.
Okay, Jessica, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So that's there. Moving back here, let's have a little look. Let's talk here to the lovely department. Hello, we're on Radio Waves. Alan and...
Hello, it's Alex from Audiology and Alan from Audiology.
So Audiology, it's all about hearing, I believe.
It is mainly about hearing, but we've also got things like tinnitus and balance that come under hearing as well. So if people have got balance disorders, they might come and see an audiologist for testing or for rehabilitation for that, depending on the cause of the balance disorder, if it's in their ear. But a lot of what we do here is we see adults with hearing loss and we help rehabilitate them, either with hearing aids or if they're not keen on hearing aids and have got other problems, then we might help them access things like amplified telephones, headphones for TVs, for example. It's very much patient-centred care, so it's about what the problems the person is that's having, what's in, like they do up in SAMS, what matters to them, what's important to them, what they want help with, and we tend to go from there.
And a couple of years ago or a year ago we did Think Pink. Is that still happening?
Absolutely, that's still going on. So if patients come in and they've got hearing aids in hospital because they're quite little, they're rather inclined to go missing, especially if they get wrapped up in a tissue or whatever, we're giving patients bright pink boxes to keep the hearing aids in, try and stop them going missing. They're bright pink, so they're quite obvious. If people have got dementia and they're losing sense of colour, they're more obvious to see. We need to keep the Think Pink message going so that the staff keep remembering that even when the patients come in, if they're quite poorly, then we still need to remember the pink boxes to stop that hearing aid going missing down the line.
And joining you here also is Alan. Alan is a volunteer here at the Trust. Can I ask how long, Alan, you've been a volunteer?
I've been about 8 years now.
8 years. And you have a very important role, don't you? What's your role here?
Well, yeah, it's talking to the patients, going around the wards, and anybody that's got hearing aids on the ward is that I service and repair them.
So servicing and repairing, what does that entail?
Yeah, it entails retubing, putting new volume controls on, cleaning the ear molds, and a general service of the actual machine itself.
Do patients get surprised after the results what you've done?
Yeah, they're very surprised, yeah.
They're hearing things they didn't realise.
That's right, yeah.
So what's the most interesting thing you've ever come across that you've had to do?
I think the most interesting job is one, seeing the satisfaction when somebody can actually hear again, and also it's talking to the patients and hearing their wonderful life stories. It's a bonus. It really is.
And I bet you've got a lovely life story as well, but we won't ask about that.
We won't go into that.
It's Saturday afternoon. All right, Alan, keep doing the good work. We appreciate us, like everyone here, volunteering is so big at the hospital.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's right. So there we go, there's Alan, and let's quickly go over to the next stand. Hello. And we're from the radio, so you're live on the air, Asma. And your role at Holly is?
I am the ward clerk in Holly Ward.
Sorry, the ward?
The ward clerk.
The clerk, okay, so the most important role. But what is what are you doing here today?
Today we're promoting what SAMS does. There's three wards. There's Holly, Swift and Cherry. We're combined senior adult medical services. There's all the projects that we do in the ward to promote patient well-being. There we've got lots of aids that help to sensory guide them, reminisce the smelling aids, there's visual aids, there's touchy-feely things, twiddle muffs. There's lots of activities that we've done in the ward with tea parties and sing-alongs. And
so it's a happy place, even though they're coming into the hospital.
We are trying to make it a happy place for recovery. It's not nice being in hospital.
And how long would the patient be in the hospital for?
Hopefully not too long. It depends on their situation, their condition, how we can get them better, ready for discharge.
And get them out as quickly as possible, but happy.
But safely. Safely, yeah.
Okay, well, keep up the good work and thanks.